This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Each Friday, we spend some quality time inside our public schools. And I know that we've got an older community. If you just look at the demographics, and there's a lot of people that unless they have a child or a grandchild in a school, they don't know what's going on just from the outside looking in. So every Friday, we spend some time getting to know the folks from in and around the district. And I want to welcome back to the program Paul Ranstead, who's the principal at Muffley School. And with him is Ashley Robinson today, who is a sixth grade teacher at Muffley. Muffley has been around for a long time, right? I mean, I remember going there as a kid to the Muffley Q.
Oh yeah, it's been around for quite some time. One of the staples of Decatur, for sure.
And the Muffley Q is still around?
It is. Has come back. We started it again last year.
What does the Q stand for?
It's for, I think, originally like barbecue.
Oh, okay.
So we've adopted more of a carnival-like games and food and it's, you know, just a good opportunity for kids to get prizes and spend time with family.
I must have been like in the fourth grade and I want a cake.
Yep. Cakewalk
still happening. Remember that. Isn't that crazy all these years later? All right. So you recently presented to the Board of Education, right?
That's right.
Okay, how does that work?
So each month, schools are in line to present things that are going well at our schools. And
so you can kind of do like what you're doing here for the board.
Exactly.
I mean, they're probably not in all the buildings and don't have any idea like specifically what's going on.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton that we do, and it just doesn't get noticed and always communicated because we're busy and taking care of students and their learning.
All right. Well, I was looking through the slide presentation that you presented to the board. What is your vision and your mission?
Well, you know, I highlighted off there, you know, I didn't really read it to the board, but just, you know, we're focusing on, you know, everyday challenges, but, you know, helping our students become successful citizens in diverse society. So what better way than to bring experiences to them that are as diverse as their needs? And then just, you know, making that positive learning environment for students and them wanting to come back is really what, you know, drove, you know, the talk for today.
Okay. Well, Paul and Ashley are both in with us here today, and we'll get into parental involvement, what you're doing to bring people into the schools. And I mean, I think people have probably a stereotype of what a public school is versus a reality of being in there every day. And the stereotype is probably made up of some truths, you know, and maybe in an exaggerated way. But what's your day-to-day life like in a sixth grade classroom?
Well, obviously the kids come in, we sit and do, you know, get them started right away. Make sure that they're focused as much as possible. You know, because we're a K-6 building, typically we're self-contained. But this year, my grade mate and I, we actually departmentalized. So I teach two subjects. She teaches the other two to kind of give them that idea of what middle school is going to be like when they get to seventh and eighth grade. So there's some transitional stuff in there. You know, we do our thing. They go to lunch. They go to special. You know, we have some downtime. We'll, you know, do indoor recess if we have time. And you know, just have a lot of fun. They do like the atmosphere that's down there.
Sure.
They enjoy the transition. They enjoy having two different teachers instead of being quote unquote stuck with one teacher at that age.
We get a little mix, right? A little different flavor.
Mm-hmm. Different personalities of teachers so they can understand and get used to the fact that you're not just going to have one teacher moving forward.
Paul, where does that stand right now? I mean, you know, because there, you know, it seems like in the last number of years, the move to K-8, you know, versus K-6, you know, when I was a kid, it was very much all the same. You know, you went to sixth grade and then you went to junior high and then you went to high school. The district has a mix of these. What's the future look like for that?
You know, I don't think it's going to shift too much only because, you know, we do try to provide unique experiences for students. You know, Johns Hill is a magnet school. You have STEM, you know, at the Dansby School. So those K-8 experiences, I don't think are gonna shift and change. There's some programming that goes on at the various schools as well. You know, we do talk about that type of thing. And, you know, I think there's been conversations at Muffley just to have that K-8 experience for students. You know, I don't know that our space necessarily accommodates that. There was an addition, you know, 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, that put more classrooms onto the campus, but, you know, it may have possibly, I think there was plans to expand that initially. So I think there's a benefit to having those kids all the way through. Ours, fortunately, will get that, you know, time to learn what middle school is like a little sooner.
I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. Yeah, it's just interesting to me. It was done a certain way for a very long time, and now there are different alternatives for kids, depending on the school. So what about, I hear all the time, public education in general, not just District 61, but, you know, more parental involvement. You know, what could you do if kids, you know, came to school, every kid came to school prepared to learn, you know, all of these things that we sort of probably have struggled with for 75 years, but we still talk about it. What are you guys doing to involve parents and bringing the community into your school?
Yeah, so my purposeful spotlight to the board was about one of our committees, the parent community engagement, and all the efforts that they have made throughout this school year, concluding, this past week or yesterday, actually, no, Wednesday, with Earth Day. And so we kind of had a year scoped out of all the things that we provide and deliver throughout the year. The team, that's consists of Libby Kirkland, Joseph Krause, Jessica Meyer, Kim DeCesaro, Tressa James, and our very own Ashley Robinson, they meet in their committees, and that's scheduled one time a month. They obviously work well beyond that on their own to bring, a variety of activities and events. Like in September, we had Grandparents Day and, try to twist that up a little bit. My days at Eisenhower, we talked about the half day and trying to increase our attendance and, what can excite a student to be there. And so they adopted kind of an unplugged concept. Get away from technology. You might see.
Okay, so that's what the unplugged means.
That's where the unplugged comes in, yeah.
How important is that?
Well, considering we do a lot of things on the iPad, I mean, I'm somewhat old school, but I like to do pen and paper on a lot of stuff. But we do rely on the iPads for, various websites and stuff like that we use as a supplement. The kids actually, I think, enjoy it because it's something different than what they're, used to on a day-to-day basis. They kind of catch themselves when they first come in because that's usually one of the first things they do is just grab it, sit down, so that way they're prepared for whatever activity we're working on. But they really do enjoy it because it's like, okay, for once I don't have to be on a device. So they do enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of freedom sometimes. I can relate. So this parent community and engagement unplugged concept, you've got, boy, the titles here. There's a facilitator. There's a taskmaster. That's my favorite. A note taker, timekeeper. What do you guys do? What's it look like once a month when you get together?
Well, basically what we do, and this is my first year on the committee, so I was kind of the newbie, so I was just following along with what they were doing, is we look at kind of some special days that are happening in the month. That's where, a lot of our days came from. And then we take a look at some different resources that are out there. So, for example, when we did Chinese New Year, we looked at all the different activities that we could do. We made dragons. We made paper lanterns. And then we divvied it up by grade band. So, obviously, what fifth and sixth grade does, maybe kindergarten, first and second, would be too complicated for them. So then we differentiated the activities based on what we could find. And we also decided, too, that instead of just doing the same thing all day for the 3 hours that we're there, we divvied it up. So maybe 30 minute increments, we would do one activity and then they would switch and do something else. So then they have that exposure to just more than one activity.
Right. And so some of this feels just kind of very old school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, not in a bad way, but in a good way, hands on and put down the technology for a minute. You don't need to worry about that. Just get in a fun project that you work together as a group and do cool things and hopefully learn about Chinese New Year.
Yep.
What'd you guys do for Earth Day?
So we had University of Illinois Extension present, and there were some educational pieces. Students went in and watched a video. They rotated obviously out. We also had master gardeners out and help plant seeds, in the front by our kiosk. And then out by our tree line, they were kind of in exploring with a hands-on activity, how a seed moves from space to space to replant elsewhere. And so they essentially a helicopter, if you will, out of paper clip and, got to, throw that in the air and see how it twisted and moved and turned and adjusted to the wind. So just, those real good hands-on experiences that are relatable to what is, important about that field.
All right. What's the best thing about being a sixth grade teacher?
Uh-oh.
Oh, good Lord. I didn't know this question. I just love the age. You know, I started in middle school teaching math, and then I kind of got to a point where math is very finite and I wanted to explore something different. And I love the idea of being able to teach more than just one subject. So when I had the opportunity to come to Muffley, I was super excited. I mean, I was terrified because I'd never taught, you know, social studies, science, language arts, or anything. But I fell in love with the kids. I fell in love with the building. The building is amazing. All my coworkers just made me feel so welcome.
What makes the building amazing? I mean, dive into that a little bit, because I think people have a lot of perceptions about right. what a public school looks like or the hallways look like. And I'm not suggesting there aren't challenges. I'm just saying your day-to-day occurrence, what makes the building so unique to you?
Everyone is very upbeat. We enjoy being there. We are family. We, you know, if somebody needs something, we're always there. We have monthly social engagements that we do, like as a kind of a get together. You know, we've had Christmas parties, we've gone bowling, we've just been out and about going, you know, shopping as a trip. You know, we truly enjoy being around each other. And, you know, everybody smiles, you know, even if they might be having a bad day, smile, good morning. We're always talking to the kids in the morning. I don't know how many kindergartners I see on a daily basis that wave at me or want to give me a hug. And I'm like, I have no idea what your name is, but good morning.
Sure.
You know, but I just love to see that the kids, you know, loved, they can tell the atmosphere in the building and they just genuinely want to be there. And they love the teachers, you know, they may not like the teachers all the time, but they genuinely love the teachers. And it just makes it really fun to come to work every day.
All right. What about, you know, all of this sort of designed to get parental involvement and to get families involved? How are you doing in that regard?
Yeah, I think we're making some progress. I think we're discovering through each activity or event what might draw a family in. And, you know, it might be a time that's got to shift or change. It might be what we're providing or offering. How much time we're asking, you know, there's food. It's always a help. They would just want to see their child doing something. And, you know, I think that is what gets into play here. They just want to know that they're getting an experience and then are able to be alongside of that. You know, Grandparents Day, we did a old school recess and hopscotch and hula hoops. And
did you have to teach the kids what all this stuff was?
Well, honestly, there is a little bit of instruction that goes into, you know, the team puts little videos together, well, researches videos, finds those things just to have the instruction. There may be a worksheet that goes along. So yeah, I mean, there is some, because they don't know those games necessarily. They see the paintings on the ground of the four square, for example, or the hopscotch. And, you know, so they did need a little bit of education, but it didn't take long for the grandparents to jump in and show them.
Of course.
Them, so they'll throw the rock.
They got all the knowledge.
Oh, yeah, they did. And so that was a great, great event that demonstrated that.
All right. If folks want to know more, do you partner with people in the community? You know, you bring people in to help, you know, sponsor things, provide things. How does that work?
Yeah, that was definitely a focus. It may not have been every event, but, you know, like I mentioned just moments ago, with just having, you know, University of Illinois Extension, Master Gardeners bringing in stakeholders from the community is helpful. You know, we also have pet partners. When we had the canine Veterans Day there in November, you know, coming in, talking, you know, demonstrating how it is to approach a dog. We also had the obedience, the Decatur Obedience school here, and in the gym, they were, you know, performing and showing, you know, the discipline that the dogs had and what it took to train them. So another, you know, stakeholder there to expose our students to other opportunities that exist and that they may not know just sitting in their classes, you know, that way. So,
okay. So if folks are out there that might be interested in, you know, partnering up, you know, next calendar year, school year, you know, how do they reach out? How do they just contact the school?
Yeah. And call the school, or you can email myself, any member of our team. But yeah, I think a phone call out to the school would be utmost important. And then we do have a Facebook page. So if, you know, that's your means to communicate, you know, we check those messages pretty regularly. May not respond because it's another, you know, communication tool that's a little challenging to add another outside of emails, phone calls, but it definitely, it gets seen. We may reach out in a different way to answer questions, but you know, that is even a resource.
All right. How many kids in Muffley?
We have 398.
How many teachers and staff?
There's 60 total staff, from teaching core to custodial cafeteria.
All right. When's the Muffle Q take place?
Muffle Q is May 2nd.
All right. That's like next week.
It is up. It's come up soon. Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with the Muffle Q?
I don't think I was able to go last year. So, and with it being the first year, last year. So no, I'm looking forward to it though, because I've heard a lot of good things about it.
All right. Is that open to the public or just the Muffle kind of family?
No, it is. It's my understanding years ago, it was packed house and it was a community thing. Like,
yeah.
Packed and like standing room only, and you know, definitely is a fundraiser for the school, and at that time brought in quite a bit of dough to help out. But it's, you know, there's games, there's cakes, there's a cake walk going on. We're taking donations for that.
You teach the kids how to do a cake walk? I mean,
they've done one before.
we've used that as an incentive in other ways too, so right. they're familiar with that. But yeah, we're, you know, there's a pre-sale, you know, obviously in-house that's going on, getting those forms in, and they're $8. And then even at the door, I think it's $10. So they get, you know, access to the games and food, and then there's a treat that goes along with that.
That's fantastic. Thank you for what you do. I really appreciate it. I know teachers are the biggest hyphenate around today. I mean, you're not just there teaching social studies and history. You're a guidance counselor and a nutritionist and a family therapist and all of these other things. But getting these kids ready for junior high, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
All right. And Paul, we appreciate it. Good seeing you again.
Yeah, likewise.
All right. Muffle School, folks. You should check it out.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.